Adam Kiyamas Baal. The Rishonim are bothered, at least some of the Rishonim are bothered, how Gir Katan works absent the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. As we've discussed previously, Geirus in general requires Mila Tfila, Hartzas, Dam, and Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So Mila Tfila we have, and we discussed last time how Geirus Katan operates Al Das Bezdin, and when operates Al Das Bezdin. What about the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs? So at first glance, somehow you would assume that the role of the Av or the role of the Bezdin compensates for the lack of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. The Ritva that we quoted when we discussed Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, right, that that's L'mitzvah v'lo l'akev, v'hacha d'lavar hodohu eina ma'akev. So that requirement is only l'chachila, not l'ikuva, and we pointed out, based on looking at all the other Ritvas and various things together, it has to be that his Kavana is that the formal hodohu HaMitzvahs is not ma'akev. That's what he says here, but on some level, in general, at least there has to be a Kabbalah that may even be Ikuva. But here, where the Katan is incapable of providing this Hodah, so that kind of Kabbalah, that level of Kabbalah, isn't necessary. The Tosfos in Sanhedrin on Samachas Amidbeis, the Tosfos that we quoted last time, the very bottom, assumes that the Kabbalah is effective at the time of Gadlus, and that relates to the din of Malchah. The Tosfos writes at the end of the Tosfos on Samachas Amidbeis in Sanhedrin, Mitoch shegad b'vlo michu hayna Kabbalah. That the fact that there is no Malchah, which we'll talk about in a few moments, the absence of Malchah creates a de facto Kabbalah HaMitzvos. So according to Tosfos, you do need Kabbalah HaMitzvos as part of Gir Katan, but that Kabbalah is only affected at the time that it becomes a Godol, when he is not Malcha. So in Tosfos, you don't see that there's a requirement for an explicit Kabbalah of the Gadluso, just the lack of Malcha creates a de facto and a sufficient Kabbalah. The fact that he's not Malcha means that he is Mekabel, and that is the Kabbalah HaMitzvos that seems to complete the Geirus process according to Tosfos. The way the Ritva and Arsugi here in Ksuba Zavid Aleph quotes the Bali Tosfos, the Ritva assumes a little bit more. The Ritva writes, Einam Geirim Gemurim, that a Ger Katan is not considered a Ger Gamur, Ashem Odin Osam Matan Scharin Va'on Sham Shal Mitzvahs Kishehe Dilo. You require a Hodah Sam Mitzvahs of the Ger Katan when he becomes a Gadol. Ritva seems to say the Das HaTosfos that you need the Kabbalah HaMitzvos Digadluso, and there actually has to be a formal Kabbalah, a formal Hodah, which sounds like has to be done Bifnei Bezdin. That position is not quoted La Halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Poskim. We generally don't assume that a Ger Katan needs to make a formal Kabbalah when it becomes a Gadol, but that does seem to be the position of the Bali Tosfos as quoted in the Ritva. The Ritva's take on the Bali Tosfos.
So the Ritva is saying this at the gear itself, or when the Katan becomes a Gadol?
When it becomes a Gadol. When it becomes a Gadol, you need a new Hadas HaMitzvos, and that completes the Geirus process. You know, he says that in the context of up to when can you do Macha, which we'll address in a few moments. Avi.
He's still saying that it's a de facto, the Katan doesn't need to actually verbalize anything. It's just a lack of Macha.
Well, no. The way he quotes from the Bali Tosfos is, there has to be a Hodah HaMitzvah. So usually, whenever we talk about Hodah HaMitzvah, even if we operate with the dichotomy of the Chachma Shlomo between the Chema Shlomo between the Hodah and Kabbalah, but the Hodah has to be some kind of a response. So you're right, it's not explicit that you require a response, but there's definitely a reasonable assumption from the Ritva that there is a interaction with a Bezdin involving a Hodah, and presumably there would have to be some response from the Katan, or the silence may be a sufficient response.
just according to the river, you said that you're saying it's not the equivalent meaning that they could, that they would, that they should have a plus minus. What does that even mean for a katan to have a couple of minutes when even a Jewish katan doesn't get?
Well, that's precisely the point.
Right. I'm saying that.
Right. Exactly.
That should be more like them. What French is that from the toast? There's no such thing. It's not even
the Tosa says that you, as part of the process of Gir Kata, there has to be a Hadas HaMitzvah when it becomes a Gadol. Okay. The other Rishonim don't say that. Okay, we discussed a little bit last time. Before we go into the details of Macha, conceptually we discussed a little bit last time whether Macha operates Mikana Lava or Lamafreya. If a Ger Katan is Mochav de Galusa, does that mean that it's Ilai Milsa Mafreya, that he never was Jewish, and let's say he touched Yayin Esach when he was a Katan, but he touched Yayin when he was a Katan, so that would Lamafreya become Yayin Esach, or is it only Mikana Lava? So he pointed out last time, there does seem to be Mashmos from Rashi that is Mikana Lahava, and we pointed out that the Chasam Sofer in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Yardaya was strongly noted to assume that it's Oker Ligeris Lemafreya, which seems to be the general approach of most Achronim. In the Sefer Mishnah Sager here, in Perek Zayin Ha'ara Samach Dalit, he points out that there may be a Mashmos in the Rambam Macha only works to affect the Geirus or to compromise the Geirus to be Kanu Lahava. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Halacha Gimel as follows. Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Halacha Gimel. Ben Noach Sheniskayir Amal Kaval. So a regular non-Jew is Megayir. The Acher Kachvotz Alafs or Meacharei Hashem. Elias Geratosha Bavad Kishayim Mikodem. And now he regrets his choice, and he wants to go back to being a observant Noachite of Geratosha. Ein Shavulah, too late. Eliyah Kisol Kol Davar O Yehari. So he has to stay with the program or face the consequences. Vimaya Katan. But if he was a katan and the geirus was al das bezdin, then he could be mochev, and he'll be a geritoshav bilvad. So the juxtaposition of these two halachos, the fact that a gadol who's megayir can't change his mind, and a katan who was megayir could change his mind, implies that just like the whole nidon by the Gersh and his Gaiyar is only Mikana Lava, there's no Havamina that if a Ger is Megayir and then he decides that he didn't want to be Jewish, that it's Nakal Mafreya. So the same should be true by the Katan who was Nisgayir al Daf Bezdin and now becomes a Gadol in his Mocha. That also is a Mikana Lava halacha, not a Lemafreya halacha. Then the Mishnah Sager quotes, in the name of the Brisker Rav, although he doesn't say where he quotes it from, that the Brisker Rav was asked about this, and he wasn't convinced that this is a absolute necessary diuk. Rav Zilberstein,
couldn't you argue the reverse, in that I would assume that there's no Havamina that we could just cancel Ger. The only way we could just cancel Ger would be to realize that that this Ger was never a good Ger. I assume there's no in halacha that we could just tell a Ger like, oh yeah, we're terminating your Jewish status now. But what we could do would be we would realize if you were to tell us, by the way, like I never was and never had intentions to be not driving to Shul on Shabbos Lamasha. I was always driving and parking around the corner, and that would allow us to be Oker the Geirus, I think, you would tell me.
That means there never was a Geirus to begin with, but that's not what he was talking about.
That would be the only way that the Rambam
saw. No, but Rambam, here we're talking about a case where there was a fully good Geirus, and now he changes his mind, so he can back out.
Right, but couldn't that Rambam be understood as referring to a situation where we were reversing you got a Muslim off Christ, so to speak?
It doesn't sound like it. The notion is guy now he changes his mind, we ask Gir Tosh Bavad and Shamalo. We don't allow him to go back.
Right.
I don't think it means the happening otherwise would have been that it's Nakar Mafreya on what basis. Okay. Zilberstein has a brief piece which is printed in the fifth volume of the Netzach Yisrael Journal. And she was asked about the following situation. There was a Jewish couple that adopted a non-Jewish child, and they were guy of the child of Das Besdin. And then the mother stopped being observant, and the parents separated. And the way he tells the story, the father took the son with him because he didn't want the mother to have custody, but he was assuming that the authorities would find him and bring the child back to the mother, but that's parenthetical to our point. So this father asked for Zilberstein, so let's say he's going to go be raised by the mother now. So chances are that he's going to turn out to be non-observant and will end up being mocha when he comes bar mitzvah. We haven't spoken yet about what the gather of mocha is. So assuming that the odds are pretty good that he's going to be mocha when he's bar mitzvah, it's going to be Iglai Milsel Mafreya, that the gayer was no good, he was never Jewish to begin with. So let's say he's in a life-threatening situation on Shabbos. Can you violate Shabbos for the pikuach nefesh of this ger kavan?
That was the question.
That was the question.
Not about Yanni Nesach.
Yanni Nesach, I think he was less concerned about. So the obvious answer there. I'm sorry. Yeah. The obvious answer is.
Yes.
Because.
Why do I have to worry that right now he's.
In Holkin, the Tikkun Nefesh Acharov, that we don't take chances or make hashvanos when it comes to Tikkun Nefesh. And then he said, right, that's Pashtus. And then he says he spoke to Rav Yashiv about it, and Rav Yashiv thought that no, you only have to be done the person based on where he is now. And it sounds like the way he presents his conversation with Rav Yashiv is that even if you assume that even if there is going to be Macha, then maybe the ayin that he touched previously would not be ayin Esach. And it was what we've seen as done. Did he mean to say that the Geirus is only Nakar Mikan Lavar? Did he mean to say it's Lamafreya? But since the Stam Yenam is only at the Rabbanon, so and that were Mako, that he wouldn't pass all the ayin, especially because according to some sheet just to show them that we'll talk about soon, there's no option of macha for Niskayer Aldas Aviv. Okay, that's parenthetical. But we need to focus on when it comes to the din of macha, Amr Yosef Idili Chalulimchos, is when can and does macha take place? Who is subject to macha? And what constitutes macha? So when, who, and what? And some of these questions are very much related as they're presented in Rishonim. So let's begin by discussing the when could Macha take place, which relates very much to the what constitutes Macha. So again, all we have in our Gemara is Amr Yosef Higdilu Yecholim. And then the Gemara has a line, which is part of the Dechi at the next stage. Kevin Shigdila Sha'achas Lamiksa Shiv Eni Yekol Limchas. So once the young lady becomes a Gedola for 1 hour, 1 moment, and isn't Mocha, then she's not able to be Mocha anymore. So all the Rishonim are bothered by the question of E.F. Charlotte Zamsen. So that sounds like Kevin Shigdila Sha'achas Lamiksa Shiv Eni Yekol Limchas means that there is a precise moment at time. Of time, a single moment where Gavlus sets in, and if Macha doesn't take place at that precise moment, then there's no opportunity for Macha down the road. So the Rishon Rebothered, E.F. Shalit Samsem, how could it be that it has to be specifically at a single moment? So that was the starting point of the Ritva that we began with before, where the Ritva quotes from the Bali Tosfos that the Ger Katan is only considered a Ger Gamor once there's a Hodas, a Mitzvah, a Bigalus. So that's coming to answer this Kasha. So the way the Ritva presents this from the Bali Tosfos is, no, it's not the case that Machok is that takes place at the precise moment that the Ger Katan becomes a Gadol, but rather the Geirus is only complete at the point of Hadas HaMitzvos. So I'll read the Lashon again and go a little weiter from what we read before. Einam Geir Gemurim Ashem Odino Sam Matem Skarim Va'onsham Shal Mitzvos Kishedila. So the Geir Katav is only complete. They're only Geir and Gemurim once you come to the point that they become a Gadol and you're Modia them the Mitzvos. V'hachi Kamar Kevan Shehigdila Sha'achas V'Geirus Gemura Achar Shehigdila. So when the Gemara says Kevin Shigdila Sha'achas, it means Kevin Shigdila Sha'achas the Geirus Gemura. Once the point of Geirus Gemura took place, which is Hodilahen Onsham Iskarin Shal Mitzvos, Shuv Eina Yechola Limcho. So there has to be a formal Hodas HaMitzvos when the Ger Katan becomes a Gadol. Up to that point, the Ger Katan is able to be Mocha. Once the Hodas HaMitzvos takes place, then the opportunity for Mocha no longer exists. Okay, so according to this position, the way the Ritva quotes in the Bali Tosfos, the option of Mocha exists up to the point where there is a Hodas HaMitzvos Digadluso, and that solves the problem of E.F. Shavuot. We don't have to look at the clock. We don't have to check the precise moment that someone becomes a gadol. We don't have to get into the machlokes haposkim as to whether bar mitzvah is dependent on the calendrical day or on the eis la'eis. You don't have to wake up your ger katan at 3 o'clock in the morning if you're at 3 o'clock in the morning to ask if they want to be mocha. Once you have up to the point of hadas hamitzvos, mocha is still an option. Jew.
So the option of being mocha is, according to your thought, 1 hour after Hodas HaMitzvos or up until...
According to the Ritva B'Daf Bali Tosos, that's not the Ritva himself.
Okay.
According to the Ritva's presentation of Bali Tosos, the option of mocha is up to the point of Hodas HaMitzvos.
Okay.
Avi.
Yeah, if you're saying right after you tell the Ger Katan all the mitzvos, the Ger Katan can't be mocha then, is he...
It could be at that precise point. You tell the mitzvah to be mocha at that precise point, then that's the mocha. But 10 minutes later, once you're no longer a zukamot of Indian after token deep or whatever it is, so then you lose the opportunity for mocha.
Because that explains the Yeshua Tzam saying, because it's not what Tzam saying, it's just after the person finishes telling him, so then right away, if he's not mocha.
Well, yeah, the answer to the Yeshua Tzam saying is it's not at the moment that he becomes a gadol, it's at the moment that Bethan tells him, and presumably you have time to react to what Bethan tells
right,
him. Correct.
Right, good.
Okay, that's the position of the Bali Tosas quoted by the Ritva. The Shita B'Gubetzas quotes a Tosas Yishanim, with a different tarot to the problem of the Yavsha with Samsem. The way the Tosas Yishanim says it is that if the Ger Katan is Noheg Min HaGiyus Lifnei Gadlusa, and minagiyos la'acher gadlusa, then that constitutes a macha. Meaning that the ger katan is being noheg min hagiyos, doing non-Jewish things, whatever that is, and they're doing non-Jewish things right before they become bar mitzvah and right after they become bar mitzvah, then that constitutes a macha. That constitutes a macha. So the question is, Yev Shalit Samsev, how do you get that precise moment? The answer is, it doesn't have to be a precise moment, it's that you're noheg min hagiyos right before and right after that critical moment in time. You're noheg min hagiyos leading up to the critical point and right after the critical point. Or the Lashon, and the way this position, or approximately this position is quoted in the Ritva, is Yesh Lomer Demairi B'mocha V'holechas Nitoch katnos la'achar gadlus, that there is an ongoing macha that begins before the point of gadlus and continues past the point of gadlus. Shelo gadlus ha'akas lo machas. At the point of gadlus, there is an ongoing machas. That's how he answers the Esh of Sam same problem. It also sounds like he's assuming that what constitutes macha. So macha doesn't require a formal declaration that I'm being mocha. Macha means that you're noheg minagius, that you're doing non-Jewish things. So what exactly the gather that is somewhat unclear, but you're doing something that is a minagius, beginning it before the point of gadlus and continuing past the point of gadlus. That constitutes macha. But if you worry knowing minagius at that straddling that point of gadlus, then you lose the opportunity to be mocha down the road. Okay, that's the position of Tosfos Rishonim in the Shita. In the Bali Tosos, it's alluded to in our Tosos a little bit more expansively than the Tosa Rush. There is a opposite position, that what defines macha and the relevant point isn't the noheg minagius, but rather being noheg minagadus. That the act of being noheg minagadus creates a situation where macha is no longer an option. So if you look at the Tosas here on the page in Ksuvas Yud Aleph, L'chi Gadla, V'mtomer V'lo Kfar Gadol Hi She Nara Kevin She Bas Knas, V'far Shri, L'chi Gadla V'naga Min Agadus. So what does it mean, L'chi Gadla, that once she becomes a Gadola, she can't be Mocha anymore? It means once she became a Gadola, and she was no Heges, Minagihudis. Minagihudis. So Tosar Rush has a little bit more Barachava here. The Tosar Rush writes, Kevin Shedila Sha'achas Vikima Shuv Mitzvahs Yadus. Once she became a Gedola and was fulfilling mitzvahs as a Jew, Di'i Hedila Sha'achas Daka Kamar Im Kei Mai Kamar Hedila Yicholim Chosei Aftachavin HaShakar Vayin. So it can't mean that becoming a Gedola in and of itself prevents the possibility of Macha, because Yesho Vitzamse, Elevad Ha'afi Pirusha, Higdila V'lo Asa Maisa Yadus. So she became a Gedola and didn't do any Jewish act. Misha Higdila Yichol Limchos. So once she becomes a Gedola, until the point that she did a Jewish act, she can be Mocha. Aval Higdila Sha'achas V'lo Mechsa, Shenaga Minagadus, Shiv Eina Yichol Limchos. But once she becomes a Gedola and is Noheges Minagadus, so then there's no possibility of Macha. And not like the Bali Tosin of Ritva, that there has to be a formal Hadassah Mitzvos, but the mere act of doing something Jewish, doing a good Jewish deed, is enough to prevent the possibility of any future Macha. So again, according to the Shita, in the Shita and Kvetzas, according to the Tosfos Rishonim, the Shita and Kvetzas, Macha is defined as doing a non-Jewish act straddling the point of gadlus. According to the Bali Tosfos, in Tosfos here, in the Tosa Rush, Macha is only possible until you do something Jewish, once you become a gadol. The way the Ritva says it, quoting this Deya, is Nikarin Maseh Shehei Maisa Yehudis. That once she does a Jewish act, so then it's clear that she's acting as a Jew, and at that point, there's no longer any possibility for Macha. Alex?
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. Now, this latter formulation of Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos seems to be what's reflected in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes in Simen Reish Samiches, beginning with Sif Zayim, Goy Kasem Yeshlo Av Yachal Agayir Asav, Vimeilo Av Abal Esgayir, Ima Mivyatzel Esgayir, Bezim Agayir Asav, Shiz Kusu Lo, Vizachal Amin Shalav Afanav, Bein Kasem Shagiru Aviv, Bein Shagiru Bezim, Yachal Limchaz Misha Yagdil, Vein Dino Ki Yisal Mumer Elo Kagay, Vamedvar Mamurim Sif Ches, When is machan option? If he didn't act Jewishly, when he became a gadol. About non minagadus mishehidil. But if he does Jewish things, once he becomes a gadol, shuv eino yachalim. Because then there's no further possibility of macha. So if you do something Jewish, then you prevent the possibility of further macha. Again, the gedur that is still somewhat unclear. So let's say a person gives tzedaka, and then it becomes bar mitzvah. The first thing he does is he gives tzedaka, and then he sees that he doesn't want to be Jewish 5 minutes later. So is that a sufficient minagadus to preclude the possibility of any further macha? Not so clear. The Shach in Sifkatan Tezayin Kotzeran, which has Sifkatan Yuzayin rather, the Shach in Sifkatan Yuzayin Kotzeran, who has, I think, a different formulation than the three we quoted so far. Again, so far we saw the Ritva B'das Bali Atosfos, that Mocha can happen up to the point of Adasa Mitzvos. We saw the Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos, that Mocha can happen up to the point of being knowing Minagadus. We saw the Shita in the Shita Gebetza, which is often quoted in most of the Chachmei Svard, that Macha means you're doing a nice Gius right before and right after the Geirus. And the Ran is closer to that position. The Shachmei Svaran Kosov, Daf Dalet Amud Alef, Daf Yud on the bottom. Nehida Machos Katnus Lav Machahi. So let's say the person was mochel nu zakatan. So di mochel zakatan is meaningless. Afilu haki mahani l'inyan dila akher shehigdio im amad b'machasa mahani. But if he was mochel nu zakatan, and then he didn't do anything to negate that macha, then that macha stands even when it becomes a gadol. That sounds like a slightly different position. That you could even have a macha when you're a katan that is reinforced when you become a gadol. Yeah, Nimrod, do you want to say something?
Yeah, just to clarify. Mm-hmm. The post Rosh Hashanah is that if they're not noed min aliados, mm-hmm. It's not that they're mocha. They have to be mocha plus not noed, right? Meaning they're not noed and they have to do a macha, or...
They would have to do macha, but the macha can only take place up to the point that they're knowing minagadus. So there would have to be presumably some kind of a formal, have to be a formal macha. That macha can only take place until you're knowing minagadus. The fact that you're knowing minagadus means that you're buying in enough to preclude the possibility of the effect of any subsequent macha. Let's say you have a ger katan becomes bar mitzvah. And he doesn't make any formal declaration of macha, but isn't noheg minagadus, and does certain averos. So does the performance of averos when he becomes bar mitzvah de facto constitute a macha? He's not, whatever being knowing minagadus means, he's not doing that, but he's also not formally being mocha. At the same time, he's doing some averos, doing some big averos. So Chaim Ozer in Chelek Gimel Simen Kaches. That's not Tos Yishan. Tos Yishan is that he's Noeg Minagias. I'm sorry. No, so you're saying, no, that's precisely according to Tos. Correct. According to the Tos Yishanim, if you're Noeg Minagias a minute before and you're Noeg Minagias a minute after, then that would constitute a Macha. Correct. We don't, the Tos Yishanim is not quoted L'Halacha. Correct. So L'Halacha, you know, assuming that we're working within the position of the Tos and the Tos Rosh, which is reflected in Shulchan Aruch, or maybe with the slightly different perspective of the Ran that the Shach quotes. So within that analysis, would non-observance itself or active violation of halacha constitute a de facto macha? So Chaim Ozer assumes in that tshuva, chelo gimel sim kavches, that that's not the case. Chaim assumes that if the person's nohe, Chaim assumes if the person's nohe like a Yisrael, so then you can't be mocha anymore. Let's say he's nohe the Isser, he violates Yisurim, so he could be mocha, but the fact that he violates Yisurim in and of itself doesn't constitute a mocha. The emes ma'is yichal s'shabes s'shar averus ain't them k'machal averus rasha over averik Yisrael uvavadi davi ger. So if he were to be formally mocha and say I don't want to be Jewish, so then that's a macha. But let's say he wants to be Jewish, he just violates averus. He's living with his let's say it's an adoptive child who's living with his Jewish adoptive parents. And he's not so into this Torah mitzvah, so he'll violate averus, but he still, if you ask him, he'll say he still wants to be Jewish. So that's not, Chaim Ozer says that's not considered a macha. That's a Yisrael who violates averus.
In order for him to, he can't, if he's not going to be certain, he's not going to be macha.
That's what Chaim Ozer said. If he's not going to be Surim, he hasn't closed the window of macha. But it would still have to be mocha. Again, how do you, what's the gather of noid bisurim? So you do some instances, you do some bisurim. So at what point does the clock stop? Not very clear. Yeah?
According to the Shach quoting the Ran, either his macha from his youth counts, but does he need to kind of confirm that macha? And two, if he does mitzvahs, can he still say, oh, I smoke, I'm 7 years old?
So in the Ran, it sounds like if you're acting in the spirit of that macha and don't denounce it, then the macha that you articulated when you're cut there may still be sufficient. That's what it sounds like.
Okay. And if you were no Hague and mitzvahs, then you say, oh, you know, really, I said a macha when I was 7, but I want to eat matzah with it.
If you're no Hague in some mitzvahs and some averus?
Right, or even if you were no Hague in mitzvahs, but you said, yeah, I can stay there with the family, but, you know, I really want that macha to stand.
Not so clear. It could be that's not a sufficient reaffirmation of the macha, but maybe it's not so clear. Yeah, this is one of the stickiest issues practically in determining what's considered macha. Despite Rav Chaim Ozer's formulation there, Rav Schwartz Yad Beis Din has at least considered the position that non-observance or extreme non-observance may constitute a de facto macha l'maisa. So a person when he becomes a mitzvah is in a totally non-observant environment and living a totally non-observant lifestyle, even if he tells he wants to be Jewish, that may constitute a de facto macha.
Even if he states he wants to be a Jew,
but he's living in an environment that's alien from Torah Judaism, and is not keeping anything, and his parents aren't keeping anything, and he's in such an environment, then, and that is a, you know, we haven't yet discussed what the barometer or the bar for his chus is that done the gear katan to begin with. But let's say in the extreme case where at the time the gear katan took place, the family was an observant family, it was a positive environment, and we estimated that it was his chus for him to become Jewish because he grew up in a firm environment, and then something happened a few years later, and the family abandoned everything, and no one's observing anything anymore, and they're totally non-religious, and then he becomes bar mitzvah, so he's culturally Jewish, but they don't keep anything. So that's the kind of case where maybe, even though there's no formal machad, he would say he wants to be Jewish, but de facto, because he's not living a life of shmiras mitzvos, keeping nothing, maybe that would constitute a macha. Again, the simplest reading of the Rishonim is that you would need a more formal macha, meaning where you're not knowing minagadus, there's still grounds for macha, but it's not at all clear in the Rishonim that non-observance itself would be a de facto macha. Ramosha discusses whether macha is an option, whether the clock for macha starts at the point that the ger katan is aware that there's an option of macha. And let's say you have parents who adopt a non-Jewish child and convert him al das mez into the katan, and when he becomes bar mitzvah, they don't tell him that he was adopted. He's not aware that he was a ger. And some point later, when he becomes 18 years old, they tell him that he was a ger katan. So does he have the option? Does the clock for macha start now when he becomes aware that there is aware of his status / aware that there is such an option of macha? So Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, that it is imperative for adoptive parents to disclose at the time of bar mitzvah that their child is adopted and was converted al das bezdin, because you should be concerned that if he's only going to find out later when he's 20 years old, in his 20s, so then he's going to be the likelihood of him being mocha is greater, because the more taivos at that stage in life, less dependent on his parents, so the likelihood of mocha is greater. Moshe assumes that mocha can take place, the clock starts, once the person is informed that he is indeed a ger. Rav Moshe writes a little bit more about this in the next Siman Kuf Samach Beis, that it's prudent. You have to tell the ger, Gioris, when they become 12, 13, that they have the option of macha, because at that point, Adayin Heim Tachas Hashpas and the Gadol Masam, they're still under the influence of their adoptive parents. Sheyesh Lismo Shelo Yimku Ad Achar Sheyu Ben Gimel Bas Yubeis. Because then it's pretty likely they're not going to be mocha. So then, once they're not mocha, then they're not able to be mocha later. So whenever they find out, at that point the clock starts. At that point, they'll be able to be mocha. How do we know that's true? So he says, aside from the fact that he thinks it's mistaber, that the din of Sha'achas is only when you become aware of that option, he thinks he has arrived from Hagos Ashri in our Sivya Ksuvas Daf Yud Aleph. The Hagos Ashri writes that even though there's a din of Macha, and even though if, let's say, a Gioris Ketana was Mocha Begavusa, she now becomes non-Jewish, nevertheless, or a ger katan. Nevertheless, a ger katan is allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So Moshe says, one second. What are we talking about here? That a ger katan can marry a Jewish girl? A katan can never get married. even a born Jew, if he's a katan, can't get married. There's no institution of nisuin for a katan. So what does Agos Rashi mean? That even though there's a possibility of macha, nevertheless, a ger katan can marry a Jewish girl. Igros Moshe, Yaradea, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Beis. Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Beis. Okay, so Agos Rashi says, a ger katan is allowed to marry a Jewish girl. What katan could ever marry? So Moshe says, and don't tell me there is a day in Tanayim that there is Nisui Kana, but we don't pass them that way, so we're not going with that. Ela what? It must be that there's a tzir of a ger katan who retains the option of macha even when he becomes a gadol. And what's that tzir? It must be that we're talking about if a ger katan is not informed of the possibility of macha. So then, that's what Igros Rashi is saying. He's allowed to marry a Jewish girl, and we're not koshish that he's going to be mocha. So you could have said, you know, maybe we're going with that. Maybe the Igros Rashi is going with that position that you could be mocha from the Igros HaMitzvah, and you could have the Igros HaMitzvah 6 months down the line or a week down the line. So he at his bar mitzvah party, he's mekadosh a Jewish girl. And the Basin didn't convene to imbodi him about the mitzvahs until a week later because he was too busy with the bar mitzvah. So, could have had a different, if you're looking for the okimta of the Agos Rashi, I don't know if that's the bechreach, the biggest raya. But Moshe thinks that's the right disposition, that if you have a ger katan who's not informed of his status, and thus the possibility of macha, then the clock only starts when he finds out. Minchas Yitzchak writes this as well. Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Gimel, Simen Tzadi Tes, Os Yud Gimel. Chela Gimel, Simen Tzadi Tes, Os Yud Gimel. He also assumes that this is the case Misvara. And then he says that he was happy that he found that Moshe wrote the same thing. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva. Tshuva van Hagav Chela Dalet Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. Shuvas van Hagos Chelik Dalet Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. Rav Sternbach assumes not this way. He assumes that if you have a ger katan who is living an observant lifestyle when it becomes bar mitzvah, so that establishes the fact that he was properly mekabel mitzvos, and that precludes the possibility of macha. So even if he was unaware that he was a ger and that there is a possibility of macha, the fact that he is knowing a life of shmiras mitzvah when he becomes a gadol is sufficient to preclude the possibility of macha down the road. So he says, you don't have to tell the ger katan who becomes bar mitzvah that there's a din of macha. You just tell them that, tell them a little bit about schar v'onesh. Tell them a little bit about the responsibility of shmiras mitzvos, and that's sufficient. He says, if you have an adoptive child, you don't have to confuse him to tell him that he could be mocha, that he could go back to being a non-Jew. Unsadi, that he's not going to want to uproot the connection that he has with his adoptive parents. And obviously, if you were to ask if he'd want to be Jewish, because if he does, if he said he doesn't want to be Jewish, then they're going to throw him out on the street. He doesn't want to be out on the street. So there's enough of a presumption that he wants to be Jewish, and no possibility of macha later on. And he writes, they had a case of a yelet shovav umechutzaf, who was a ger katan, who found out when he was still a katan that he's a ger, and that he could be mocha when he becomes a gadol. So he told his friend before his bar mitzvah, I don't want to be Jewish, I don't want to have to keep the mitzvahs, but I'm prepared to keep all the mitzvahs as long as I'm still living with my adoptive parents until I'm 18 and out of the house. And his adoptive parents never told him about the option of macha. You know, he heard about it in school and had this conversation with his friends, but his parents never gave him the option. And now, lo and behold, he's past 18, and he's still from, and he's learning in yeshiva. And Rosh Yeshiva wanted to know whether the fact that he made this comment in Yisakatan, that he doesn't really want to be Jewish, is enough of a macha that he's not Jewish. He says there's a strong side that the fact that he never had this discussion with his parents was an indication that he really wanted to be Jewish from the get-go. He wanted to live as a Jew. He thought that maybe when he becomes older he won't want to, but Lamaisa, he stayed with the program, so maybe that was a deficient Kabbalah. And if we would have explained to him at the time that there's no such thing as a time-contingent Judaism, you can't say that you'll be Jewish until you're 18 and then switch, so then he never would have said what he said. That's part of his analysis.
Is that more like a joke?
Yeah, he was like a stupid kid who was like,
yeah. Right, so that could well be. Meaning, yeah, you have a kid who says, yeah, I don't want to be Jewish. Does he really mean it? What does that mean? So then he leaves his house and...
Right, like, I mean, like, now he's 18 years, so I'm like, you know.
Right. Now, Rav Avner has a tshuva, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Nun, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Nun, which I remember this story, I think, from another tshuva. I thought it was in the Michas Yisrael, but I couldn't find it. I'm not sure. So the Shevet Levi Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Nun was asked a shayla from London from a certain Rav who was being misadar kedushin for a couple, and he discovered that the Kala was an adoptive daughter to her adopted daughter, and she was converted as a ketana, the Ores ketana, and she didn't know. No one ever told her. So the Masada Kedushin was asking, do you have to tell the Chassan? Do you have to tell her? Okay. But as far as the Geiris aspect over here, so do we have the right to assume that the fact that she's living as a living a Jewish observant lifestyle after Bat Mitzvah, does that mean that there's no more possibility of Macha? So he questions Rav Moshe's assumption. He says, if that's really true, that you have the option of Macha, at whatever point you find out that you're a ger, then why are all the Rishonim bothered by the E-Efshar L'tzamtzem kasha? Should have been a simple teretz. What do you mean E-Efshar L'tzamtzem? No, we're talking about a case where you only find out much later, after you become Bar Bas Mitzvah, that you have the option of Macha. Said that just kicks the question down the road, so you can ask the same Yeshua or something then, that at the time that you find out, so they have to be at that precise moment. By the time you find out, it's a defined time, when you become a gadol, that is defined. Rav Vosner is skeptical as to whether there really is such a halacha that you can be mocha at the point that you find out. So in this case, he says, the way the Shiloh was presented was that if they're going to tell the Kala that she is adopted, she's going to run away because she'll be so embarrassed or she'll have mental health problems. So at least you can rely on that Agos Ashri, that Moshe quoted, that even if there's a possibility of Macha, you can still proceed with the Kedushin. You worry that down the road she might be mocha? Okay, that's not such a concern. L'maisa, we're generally at least koshish for Moshe's position that macha could take place at any point that the ger katan is informed that he is a ger and has the possibility of macha. So we always advise after Moshe that if there is a situation of ger katan, that the child be informed at the time or leading up to the time of Bar Bas Mitzvah that he or she was converted and has the option of Macha. Okay, we still have to discuss the Machlokas Rishonim and Machlokas Aposkim as to whether the din of Yicholim Limchas is even halacha under all circumstances, and then we have to discuss what's considered a zchus to invoke zachin for a ger katan, and then we have to discuss hafchana. So I think we're going to try to wrap this all up tomorrow.
What is like macha? Is that a good formal basis?
Definitely not formal basis. The ritva there seems to be das yach. Oh, a macha.
Yeah.
No, so no one says macha has to be with nebes. The macha presumably, that's to some extent an open question amongst every poskim, whether non-observant can create a de facto macha, but the simplest understanding is macha requires a declaration of intent coupled with some reflection of that intent. L'maisa, I can't think of a single case that I dealt with a proper gir katan. You know, gir katan was done properly at the halacha, where we actually paskined in the end that there was a macha.
In those cases, were like the kids at any point? Like, do they say things like that?
Yes, yeah, so even if people say, I don't want to be Jewish, but if it's not reflected in their actions, I mean, you know, 30-year-old kid says, I don't want to be Jewish, but they're still being Jewish. That's not necessarily a... we assume Macha has to somehow be backed up. Even in cases, certainly to a matter of degree, so it is possible to have a Macha case. I just can't think offhand of a... there may have been a couple of situations in which we were choshesh, and let's say you have a case, and Luchas kind of talked about this from the Mila aspect. Let's say you had a ger katan who was mocha, and then years later wants to be Jewish again. So tefila, so presumably you need another gerus. So tefila, yes. Hatafa, that goes back to the conversations we had in the past as to whether by whether Hatafa l'shem something else works here. Let's say it was a shame geiris, but then the geiris says in the Chaschenach in the midst of Mila that the Hatafa would work. but you could have such a situation in theory. Okay, so tomorrow, what time are we going to start?